Hello to all. Welcome to the press conference of the 2022 AXA Group earnings. We are very pleased to be back with you after a long period with digital presence, and finally, we are here in person. Similarly to last year, I will make a few remarks at the very beginning, and then I will turn it over to my three colleagues who are on my left, Patrick Cohen, who is the CEO of AXA France, Frédéric de Courtois, who is Deputy CEO of the AXA Group, and then Allemand de Mainel, who is the CFO for the group. We are available after our remarks to answer all your questions. Now, let's start with the summary. You can see that 2022 turned out to be a very good year for AXA. In an environment that was not very easy, to say the least. Nearly a year ago, there was the invasion of Ukraine, which created some geopolitical upendings and created economic uncertainties when it comes to inflation in particular, so that this context is not easy and remains uncertain for us if we look also at the next six to 12 months. The earnings that I will be commenting in a few minutes have not come by coincidence. It is the result of a long transformation, a transformation which was dedicated and also initiated and committed. It is the result of all the actions and efforts of our employees and of our agents, and I would like to extend my thanks to them. What can we see now in these earnings? Now, revenues rose by 2% at 102 billion euros, a figure which is a beautiful rise. Underlying earnings are also up by 4% at 7.3 billion euros. Now if we translate this into underlying earnings per share, it is increasing by 12%. All of this is taking place with a balance sheet which is extremely solid, 215% of Solvency Ratio II. I remind you here that our target for Solvency II is around 190%. In other words, we are widely below that number, and it makes us quite comfortable for the next phase. The board of directors yesterday decided to pay out a dividend of 1.70 euro. In other words, this is a rise of 10% over last year. The board as well approved yesterday a new buyback program for a maximum amount of 1.1 billion. All of this is taking place as part of our Driving 2020 plan at the end of 2023, which means we are in the last year of this plan. I can certainly tell you at this stage that we positioned ourselves very comfortably with these targets of this plan and probably will be topping some of those targets that are in this plan. Now, if we drill down now into the specifics, the driving force behind these earnings are on the one hand our business lines and on the other hand our regions. Let's start immediately with the business lines. Now, we are active in four main business lines, and you can see here in each one of these business lines quite a dynamic business and activity in 2022. Let me start with the largest segment, which is the P&C insurance business. Here we are clearly the global leader with regard to commercial insurance, and revenues are increasing, by the way, by 2% at 51.6 billion. Keep in mind that 2% are equal to about a rise of 1 billion with regard to revenues. So this is our core, the transformation towards technical risk, and here you can see it. Now, with regard to life savings and pension, a slight decline of our revenues by 5%. It is not to be worried about, but it is fully aligned with our strategy, since we clearly stated that we want to move towards technical reserves. We want to desensitize financial investment risk, and this is minus 5%, and this is exactly the outcome of that. So how can we cut back on our exposure, in other words, in products in general accounts? Now, looking at health, this is the third significant business line, a rise of plus 16%. After the COVID, it is certainly a matter which is quite a major one for our companies and our personal lives. This is why we are very happy to witness such a progress. The fourth business line is about asset management. Today, in particular, we are leading in the management of alternatives, real estate and private loans, in that case, again, given the market context, which has rather shown declines in values. We are very happy to see here that the revenues has slightly declined, and you can see that the outcome remains more or less stable. In other words, you can see here that the group is well diversified, and all the business lines have contributed to the success for the group. It shows also that we are well positioned in this environment, which is which is quite uncertain, to derive some growth about it. Now, on the question of ecological transition, regarding the cyber elements and the health aspects, we are really at the heart of these themes and these social challenges in order to contribute also some solutions. Looking now at the various regions, you can certainly notice the robustness and the complementarity of these regions in our operational model. You can see on the slide that every region posted very good progress in their business. If I start now with Europe on the left-hand side, plus 12% at 2.9 billion, a very good result, and it does show really that our positions in Europe are extremely solid. The same thing applies to France. We are a major player in France with plus 6% in a market which is not always the easiest. And really, this is therefore a very good result. But in Asia as well, you remember Asia was typically hurting due mainly to the COVID effects in China, in Japan. So we see a rise of 4%. As I said before, asset management sees a slight drop. If you compare this to our competitors, however, it is certainly quite scarce to see more or less stability in regard to underlying earnings in this area. And finally, AXA XL, minus 7%. Look, these earnings should be looked at our 2022 context. In other words, the war in Ukraine, which has left some imprints, and also the context of NatCats, where we had far more natural catastrophes, especially one in the U.S. called Ian, and obtaining 1.2 billion euros in a context such as that one is really a very good result. Looking now at the strategic aspects and see where we stand with the AXA platform and our AXA model. On the next slide, you can see here that in the last few years, we made major efforts to focus and simplify and refocus AXA. AXA, what is it today? In a few words, on the one hand, we are the global leader in commercial insurance. As I said before, we are the largest insurance group for companies. On the one hand, in terms of P&C, NatCats, the RC, cyber, and anything you want. But also, on the other hand, when it comes to human assets, in terms of employee benefits, it gives you a position which is very strong on a global basis, which offers much more growth possibilities. On the other hand, AXA is really the leader in markets, in particular in Europe and in Japan. And this is the strength of AXA today, an AXA which is better focused, is simpler, but also an AXA which is more predictable. You could see in any kind of environment that we saw in the last few years, well, whether things are, it's, the weather's good, if there are many nat cats, if there's a war or not, if there are disturbances in the financial markets or not. Look, we deliver our results. And our performance in our earnings is steady and sustainable and long-lasting. Looking now at the next slide, you can see here that it is key, really, to nourish, feed this machine and invest in the company for development purposes. And we were very strong in our investments. Just to give you one figure, look, we invested in digitalization around 1.2 billion euros in 2022. In other words, we are focusing our efforts into innovation and technology. And what is very important for us, you saw that we launched several years ago the digital health platform in order to extend and expand our health business, also in supporting our customers in their daily needs for care. And last year, also, we launched the digital commercial platform, which is similar to this. How can we, beyond insurance, in other words, help our companies to better manage their risks and also better control the risk-related controls? You also noticed that we are in the midst now of getting stronger when it comes to the markets where we are already active. You saw two aspects on this. On the one hand, the acquisition of a business in Spain, and on the other hand, we made an acquisition of a company in Turkey because we believe that this is where, in these two promising markets, it's important to shore up and solidify our existing situation. Now, on the other hand, I had told you at the time that such earnings are not by coincidence, by chance. This is the outcome of a long transformation. And on the other hand, and that's very important, with the huge commitment coming from our employees, which requires, in other words, many employees. And each year, we are very active in the recruitment business. 16,000 recruitments last year took place. We also increased significantly our training budget, since it is very important to truly help our people to find their place, and so that they can show the best that they have in themselves and create an environment where they can really fulfill themselves and give their best. The most important thing for us going forward is also to go, it's going beyond the insurance business, but also help socially as a social player. It is part of our DNA, and that was so from the very beginning, and we clearly focused our efforts up until now on the fight against climate change. You have seen that we kicked in 26 billion green investments by 2023. Certainly, we took some clear positions when it came to our climate-related policy, and we clearly want to move on this path by focusing more in the future into climate transition of companies and help companies in terms of investment, but also when it comes to insurance elements. Second question now. Climate is also a cultural matter in our company and elsewhere, because each and everyone has to think about the climate every day in every decision that you take every day. And this is why we feel that insurance, to contribute to this, we need to inform people, train them. And this is why we trained 120,000 employees with a training called AXA Climate School, which not only gives us positive feedback inside of AXA, but also gave rise to many requests from external companies so that they can also take it on board. So at the same time, we announced several efforts on the front of investments into the question, what can we do in agriculture, farming, in order to, in the regeneration agriculture, to make some progress on the storage of carbon in the in soils with methods that are different. And we clearly stated that it's also important that climate-related efforts apply not only to our insurance and our investments in our place, but also in our own business, with a clear goal. We want to be neutral carbon-wise in our operations by 2025. Now, looking now from a different perspective, when you look at AXA as a social work company, as seen from the economy, the employees, our customers, and our shareholders, we can see here on the next slide a balanced action. In other words, we always look at the whole picture of our stakeholders to truly see how we can strike a good balance for all and everyone. You can see on the client side, on the left-hand side, we were very active last year because, after all, there were many claims, especially NatCat claims, and it is always tragic conditions if someone loses their home or if someone is injured. So being next to our customers and helping them with 50 billion of compensation last year, well, there were many opportunities to help your customers. But this is not only on the claims side, but it's on the pension, where we paid nearly 6 billion to our policyholders in order to already or soon have a good pension, a good retirement plan. When I talk about us as a social player, I'm saying that we are very active in the economy also in terms of investments. 30 billion invested each year in the economy. Of course, we pay a high level of taxes in France because we are a social player and also responsible in this country here. For our employees, as I stated before, we are highly focusing on a recruitment and retaining the good talents. And so far, we have managed to have employees who are highly committed for the right thing. And certainly, if I talk here about stakeholders, I have in mind also our shareholders. You noticed that the dividend is rising by 10%. So each year, we're paying out dividends to our shareholders, and I'm very proud that 30% of our employees are AXA shareholders. Now, to complete this picture, and I said before that we are in the last year of our Driving Progress Plan 2023, you can see here on this slide that we are truly well positioned in this plan approach. We will certainly be reaching all our goals, and we will be seeing in our following discussions that we certainly will top a number of these goals, especially when it comes to rising underlying earnings per share. In the plan, we said it should be between 3 to 7%. And here you see last year it was at 12%. And we also will be exceeding our goals when it comes to cash flow available during that period in 2022, in the last 3 years. You can also notice that AXA is doing well. We've faring well. We succeeded with our transformation. Such transformation can be seen in excellent financial results. We are much simpler, better focused, and also we are prepared for the future because, once again, all the very upheavals we see around us are opportunities for us to grasp, to find with our customers and find new solutions. In other words, our strategy is now perfectly adjusted to such an environment, and we have here a great opportunity going forward to truly benefit from that and have much more growth, because the AXA growth is solid, and it offers now even more potential for better and sharper growth. Thank you very much for your attention, and I will hand it over to Frédéric de Courtois, who will now outline the specifics, the performance of the various regions and business lines.
Bonjour. Très bon résultat donc, et je vais vous présenter ces résultats pour nos quatre lignes de métier.
So we'll be reviewing performance for four business lines, starting with our first business line, which is the P&C line, accounting for 60% of the earnings for the AXA Group. So as you can see, robust growth in P&C lines, up 2% in revenues. Looking at the various business segments, you can see that growth was robust in commercial lines and in personal lines alike, yet we had a strong decline in the reinsurance business, and this strong drop in reinsurance is consistent with what was announced last year. Basically, we reduced our exposure levels to reinsurance in the field of natural catastrophes. With respect to commercial lines, strong growth. On the right-hand side, you can see the pricing developments. Growth is the result of two factors. Number one, price increases, which have been consistent with the inflation levels, and also a very high retention rate on the client side, much higher than prior year. With respect to our personal line business, good growth, up 4%. And you can see here that the price increases were lower, and growth was mainly driven by new business. Looking at the next slide, slide 15, so combined ratio, basically the so-called technical result. A number of items here need to be noted. The first, which is a slight decline in the NatCat result, or an increase in the NatCat load, with a NatCat activity level which was very strong and high in France, slightly down, yet still at a very high level, because this NatCat load remains in excess of the long-term average levels, in excess of what the models have been anticipating. So very high strain of NatCat. Attritional result, attritional meaning not including CatNat, slightly down, attritional. Now, you need to take two factors into account in this item. The XL result is up strongly, so the so-called attritional result of XL is strongly up on the back of very strong price increases posted in the last few years, so very positive impact. So the so-called attritional ratio of AXA XL is up by 2 percentage points. Now, conversely, as part of this attritional ratio, you have the impact of the Ukraine war for close to 1 percentage point. So our expense ratio is down as well, which is the result of our efficiency results in the last few years, and prior development slightly down. This prior development is still at a very good satisfactory level. So underlying earnings up 5%. And you can see, with respect to underlying earnings, the key item here, which is the investment income. I told you before that the combined ratio remains stable. Now, investment income is up significantly, which is driven by two factors. Number one, by the fact that in our portfolios we hold some inflation-linked bonds, and in the P&C business, our assets are short-term mainly, and during renewals we reinvest at higher rates, and this will go on in 2023. Now, the second business line, which is life and savings, accounting for some 35% of AXA's earnings, you can see that revenues for life and saving are slightly down. Last year was a record year, in fact, first factor to explain this. Number two, you can see that revenues are slightly down in the savings business. And the three color bars here, unit-linked in dark blue, general account assets in light blue and dark gray, are driven by market volatility. We know that policyholder behavior are connected with market behavior. When there's more volatility, clients invest more. But protection, the protection business, which is a key segment, is holding well. Another key factor is the surrender rate is stable. We have not seen any major changes in policyholder behavior in this respect, with a which is good. You can see the net inflows, the net flows, inflows minus outflows in terms of cash flow. Same message here. Positive net flows in our key segments, which are protection, unit linked, and the capital light general account products, net outflows in the traditional G account, so with a stable surrender ratio, no change in policyholder behavior. Now, moving on life and savings, the underlying earnings strongly up, which originates in two main factors. Investment margins remaining quite stable, which is an indicator which we track. It was 64 basis points. It went down to 63 bips this year, considering it's been stable. So improved underlying earnings originated in the improvement of the technical margin, which has a number of items, but is the result of origination and production and operations of prior years, mainly from France and Japan. Now, the third business line is the health business, which accounts for some 10% of our underlying earnings. You're already calculating the result, and this adds up to more than 100%, but the holding company is in negative territory with a number of expenses due to the servicing of the debt, and the health business accounts for a bit more than 10%, about 10% of our underlying earnings, and the underlying earnings for the health business is slightly down, was slightly down last year. And this originates in two main factors. The first factor is that we used to have two large contracts, which were international contracts, which were owned and managed by AXA France, which posted disappointing results. And we decided to terminate these two large contracts at the end of 2022. So you'll see this in the revenues for fiscal 2023. This is the first factor. The second factor, of about the same magnitude, these two factors, in Japan. What happened is that COVID was covered by insurance cover. Anyone getting COVID was required to be compensated by way of our insurance cover. In fact, the policy covers covered hospitalization, but the Japanese government considered that COVID was a case of hospitalization with a huge load. Due to that, knowing that the Japanese government changed its laws in September of 2022, and since then, the non-hospitalized COVID cases are no longer compensated. And knowing that these two factors are one-offs, the two factors are one-off items for fiscal 2022, we expect that the health business will get back on its significant growth track, contributing to underlying earnings starting from 2023. Now, the last business line is asset management, AXA IM, accounting for a bit more than 5% of our underlying earnings. This adds up to 110%, minus 10% for the holding company. And as Thomas said, you can see that the underlying earnings for asset management is strongly positive in the very adverse market context, because the underlying earnings have been quite stable overall. You can see this on the right-hand side, in a market context which was extremely adverse, very poor on the equity side and on the bond side as well. Now, how can this be explained, i.e. the development of assets under management down 7%? This negative development can be explained by two factors. Net inflows, i.e. Net flows, inflows minus outflows, which is positive, which is on the same level as the previous years, the 18 billion euros you can see on this slide. The second factor, which obviously has been strongly negative, which is the market impact, because equities and bonds alike dropped last year. And the third factor can be explained by two one-off and significant items. The first is, and you read that, I guess, we took control of an asset manager called CABSA. This was last year, which mainly manages loans and private equity assets. This is the first factor. The second factor, you may have read that we created a third business line in AXA IM. It's called AXA Prime, quote unquote. And it's basically a fund of fund business in alternative assets, in unlisted assets. And this fund of fund business showed good momentum, starting with pre-existing assets, which were managed on account of AXA, and this business will be managed on account of third parties starting from now. So these three items explain why assets under management are down, since the yield and return for AXA IM is based on a percentage of assets under management. This should have impacted the underlying earnings significantly. The reality is that we are extremely disciplined in our expenses and costs this year, because we anticipated this, of course, and you can see that the cost-income ratio, bottom right, only increased slightly. So this twofold impact explains why the underlying earnings for AXA IM remained stable. So with the caveat of the health insurance, very satisfactory underlying earnings across our various business lines, which is promising for fiscal 2023. Thank you, and I turn over to my colleague and friend, Patrick Cohen.
Bonjour à toutes et
tous. Hello, everyone. I'm delighted to be here with you today to review the earnings of AXA France. As you know, fiscal 22 was especially tough for industry, with climate events which were unparalleled. And in such a backdrop, AXA France did much more than be resilient. We posted outstanding performance with both our revenues and underlying earnings, because we accelerated our transformational process on the technology front to ever better serve and support and satisfy our clients. And more than ever, we were engaged in and committed to societies. These are the three points I want to say, telling you in my introductory remarks that AXA France's ambition is to be the robust and solidarity-based insurer that the French populations need to meet the current challenges. First and foremost, I would like to thank all of our teams, all of our agents, all of our advisors everywhere in the regions which supported the French population this year by supporting more than 1 million households during the climate events, and by compensating more than 100 million health-related claims. We believe in the growth potential of the AXA France. This is what we told you last year. We have 10 million clients. We provide insurance cover to one professional out of four, and we still have potential for growth. And the fiscal 2022 performance reinforces this belief, because we reached 29.3 billion euros in revenues, up 3.5%, with underlying earnings reaching 1.8 billion euros, record level, with growth of 6%. Now, growth can be seen everywhere in our key business line and across all our distribution channels. We grew by 7% in P&C, driven by the corporates, thanks to product innovations, thanks to and on the back of the new underwriting platform, digital underwriting platform. We grew in personal P&C business by 4%, with very strong net contributions by all. In the health business, we post 31% growth, very fine, high growth, even if we state it for the insurance contract impact, which we resiliated. Strong growth driven by group health and personal health, and we make the difference thanks to a large suite of services and product, especially on the back of our Angel digital platform, which was consulted by more than 1.5 million French people last year. Good performance on the protection, savings and pension products, and the inflows of the Eurocroissance funds showed inflows which quadruples, with 122% increase, with very good resilience as well with respect to the unit link, the products and solutions on the back of product innovation. So we make it possible for investors to invest in infrastructure, in energy transitioning, and in venture capital. Now, we have posted very fine growth as well in personal protection business by 6%, which is driven by the creditor market. With respect to our underlying earnings, it is up 6%, driven both by good business momentum and by the quality of new business, because our combined ratio in P&C reaches an 89%, and our savings diversification ratio is much above market average. Now, really, again, I want to thank all the teams, all the AXA France networks, for this very outstanding performance. This outstanding performance is the result of the transformational process we started some 2 years ago, which focused on three priorities: satisfying our clients, using and leveraging technology to deliver great possibility of more progress, and the well-being of our employees. Now, along these three fronts, the needle has been moving in AXA France. We are living out this transformational progress. With respect to customer satisfaction, it reached unparalleled levels in protection, in P&C, and in health this year, which is the result of accelerating our client digital pathways. The number of the clients which used our digital tools has doubled over 3 years, and it's a result of our networks heavily engaging, in which we keep investing in numbers, in volumes, for them to be better equipped, technologically speaking, and we invest in their training, in their development, so that they give even more high-quality expert consultancy to our clients.
When it comes to technological transformation, thanks to the 40% increase in our investments, and we've been recruiting more than 400 talents in the last few years in high tech, so we are discovering a new field of possibilities. Well, today, our teams are able to compensate people who stop working automatically in employee benefits and some motor claims on the base of artificial intelligence based on pictures, and organize a savings contract with instantaneous payment. There are possibilities that are huge, and we are speeding things up. Processing of the cases, technology is a key challenge. We'll continue to invest in it, continue to test it. And by the way, we are very proud to have been the first insurer to explore the world, that world of artificial intelligence. Now, the last chapter, which is the well-being of our employees and the commitment of our employees, it is moving forward, because the motivation, the engagement, the satisfaction of our employees has doubled up in 2 years, thanks, among other things, to new remote working, which to which 90% of teams adhere to, and health and also diversity and empathy are at the front of our qualities. I told you in our introduction, our ambition is to be a solid player and who proves to be showing solidarity. Let me now talk about solidarity, because in 2022 we never were so committed in society at large, so committed first of all in regard to the environment. So we are a driving force in sustainable finance and investing in sustainable financing in France. We are the first insurer in the energy transition area with dedicated to photovoltaic and hydrogen. We have sharply sped up the use of the reuse parts. That's 15% of our repairs. That's over 200,000 repairs. We are also highly committed in inclusion. In purchasing power, we went behind the commitments of our industry with public authorities, especially by freezing premiums on motor and housing for those who are less than 30 years old. In terms of training and programs that are highly structured, diversity exists in every form. It is an absolute priority for us at AXA France, and today we have 45% of women among the 300 executives in our company. We are also proud of our the Île-de-France partnership regarding inclusive health. Lastly, prevention. We have become one of the major patrons in health and in philanthropy. Child-related diseases and old age diseases are at the forefront of our commitments, thanks to the Bus du Cœur. Hard buses, in other words, we help 5,000 women who were in difficult conditions to go through cardiovascular screening and gynecological screening. And this year, an initiative, the internet license, we developed this with our police officers. We trained 3 million school children to cyber risks. So, in conclusion, I'd like to give you three messages. The first one is that in 2022, despite the environment that was especially difficult, our performance is right where it should be. And secondly, the transformation that we kicked in over 2 years in AXA France is bearing fruits thanks to the great work and to the mobilization, the engagement, commitment of our teams and of our agent networks. And one last message now about the outlook now. We believe that right now, when France has never had so much need for insurance, we are in the grips of course, the climate upending, the long-term care and social fracture. And right now, we at AXA France, we will be the solid player showing solidarity that the French need. Thank you very much.
Et je passe la parole à Alban Maïdonnel.
Alban de Maïdonnel, to you.
Bonjour à tous.
Hello, everyone. I will supplement this presentation with a few financial elements. First of all, on our earnings, I will not go back to the specifics presented by Frédéric. You have up on the screen the rise in by line 5% in P&C, 11% in life and savings, minus percent in health for the reasons explained, and very stable results in terms of asset management. So that on the whole, our underlying earnings are growing by 4%. But those 4% hide a reality which is a bit different. In other words, you have in mind that we dispose a number of businesses such as AXA Bank in Belgium. And as a matter of fact, the organic growth of our underlying earnings stands at 7%. And we lost 3% due to that disposal. So 7% of growth, organically speaking, is an excellent result given the context that we experienced in 2022. The net income is down by 11%, chiefly due to the mark-to-market that is negative of a number of bond funds that we hold, and that negative comes due to the sharp rise in interest rates that we experienced in 2022. Now, how can we move from the underlying earnings to the per share similar results? The 4% excluding the forex effect was positive in 2022 due to the rising dollar, so that's an effect of plus 4%. And besides that, we bought back our shares in 2021 and also in 2022, which enables to boost the shares, the earnings per share. So on the whole, our underlying earnings per share grew by 12%, which obviously is an excellent result. Now moving to balance sheet related elements, especially the cash position. Our cash is stable at the holding at 4.5 billion, but is beyond the target of 1.3 billion. And thanks to very strong cash remittance of our subsidiaries in 2022 of 5.5 billion, it was 4.4 billion in 2021. And you know that a good chunk of our financial strategy is precisely to focus on generating cash. And it comes from the product we sell, our business lines, which are business lines that are not very much capital hungry, with a lot of a strong generation of cash. So therefore, a very good cash remittance from subsidiaries, which enable us in 2022 to pay out a dividend of 3.5 billion and buybacks of 2.3 billion. That's the amount that is significant, but it combines several buybacks that we had announced. First of all, there's a final tranche of the 2021 buyback at 1.7 billion. 800 million of that was bought back in 2022. There are 500 million of share buybacks, which were announced for anti-dilutive measures, and there are some disposals, as I said. And then 1 billion of buybacks announced last August, which are discretionary. All in all, 2.3 billion. No, expenses and in investment expense at holding at minus 1 billion. We issue in net terms 1 billion of debts, which was planned in our and enables us to have a stable gearing ratio. It was at 27.1% in 2022 versus 26.4% in 2021. And on the whole, therefore, the cash level at 4.5 billion, a very good level at the end of 2022. Looking now at the solvency picture, the solvency ratio is holding at an excellent level of 215%. It was at 217% at the end of 2021. You will recall that our target level is at 190%, so we are well beyond that at 215%. So what were the major moves in 2022 in this respect? On the one hand, the generation of solvency, the way we generate cash, in other words, well, we generate solvency, therefore, and we gain 23 points of solvency with our transactions, which shows the strong profitability of our businesses. And what is key also to have in mind is that such business growth of our solvency also does not require more equity. This is the beauty of our model as well. As I said, we sell products that are light in capital. It was proven by Frederick. So we generate 23 points of solvency. We don't need to invest more capital in our business due to that factor also. There was an impact from the financial markets on account of the volatility of the rates, the higher interest rates, and so on. But that impact is very much limited. It's only negative by 3 points, which also shows solvency control on our part. And lastly, what have we done with that solvency generation? Well, via dividends and via buybacks, we gave a good chunk of it to our shareholders. So here, you can see the dividend we are ready to pay out, but also part of the buybacks that we operated last year, as well as the buyback of shares of 1 billion won that the board of directors decided last year. So on the whole, a very sharp generation of solvency, which enables us to have a dividend that is robust and also be able to pay out to our shareholders a dividend and buybacks. of shares on this, Thomas, over to you for your conclusion.
Merci, Alban.
Thank you, Alban. Now, to sum up, fiscal 2022 was a very good year with a very fine performance, which clearly illustrated how relevant our model is on the one hand, and how our execution was very high quality by AXA, great earnings, excellent business momentum, all this on the back of a very high level of robustness, financial robustness, balance sheet robustness, and we are very well positioned on the one hand to achieve our Driving Progress 2023 strategic plan, and also beyond this to be well positioned to tackle growth on the back of this good positioning. Thank you. Let us now take your questions.